Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our glorious Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, names. Names are something that we generally take for granted, aren't they? And yet, very often, people will take a very long time so that they can find just the right name for their newborn child. And yet, when you stop to think about it, picking a name for a pet is so much easier, isn't it? Choosing a name for your pet means that you can focus on their personality, Skippy, or the outward markings such as Spot. But picking a name for a child, that is far more complicated, my friends. Sometimes parents will pick a child's first name depending on how it fits with their last name. Sometimes parents will pick a child's name because they have always liked that name. And sometimes parents will choose a name for their child as a way to honor someone else in the family. And if a child's name has been chosen to honor someone else in the family, then there is usually at least a little bit of encouragement for that child to live up to their name. No matter what name our parents gave to us when we were born, no matter why they chose that name, the most important name we have is the name that the God of heaven gave to us when we were baptized into his holy name. On the day of our Christian baptism, the God of heaven gave us the name Christian. Since we are Christians, since we are disciples, followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we now need to ask ourselves, how well am I living up to the new name that the God of heaven has given to me? Our sermon text for today reminds us that since we are Christians, since we are disciples, followers of this world's only Savior from sin, our lives need to openly reflect that glorious reality. With that reality in mind, let's study our text for today under the theme, Live Your Life in Jesus' Name. Living your life in Jesus' name will lead us to do two things. First of all, living our life in Jesus' name will lead us to replace criticism with commendation. And then, living our life in Jesus' name will lead us to recognize and remove our own sinful tendencies. Our text for today picks up exactly where last Sunday's text left off. Last week we saw that when Jesus' disciples were arguing with each other, arguing over which of them was the greatest, Jesus sat them down and tried to teach them that instead of striving to be the greatest, their goal in life was to strive to have the simple, humble faith of a child. Were the disciples listening to Jesus? Did the disciples understand what their Savior was trying to teach them? I honestly don't know how to answer that question. Why? Look at how Mark begins our text for today. Teacher, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Why was John and the other apostles upset? Was it because they saw someone who was trying to help others by driving demons out of them? No, it was not. Was it because they saw someone who was trying to help others by driving demons out of them using the power of Jesus' name? No, it was not. My friends, they were upset because the person who was trying to help others by driving the demons out of them using the power of Jesus' name was not, as John says, he was not one of us. You may recall that when Jesus sent the 12 out in his name, he specifically gave them the power and the authority to cast out demons. Since this person was not one of us, since this person was not one of the 12, John and the other apostles told him to stop they issued their own cease and desist order. It seems as though John and the other apostles were a little overzealous when it came to protecting Jesus' name. Or perhaps they were simply a little overzealous in trying to protect the power and the authority that Jesus had given to them. Did Jesus agree with his apostles? Not at all, my friends. Jesus sided with the person who was trying to help others by casting demons out using the power of Jesus' name. And then Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not stop him. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward." Here's where we see that living our life in Jesus' name leads us to remove criticism and replace it with commendation. Instead of condemning this man, John and the other apostles could have and should have commended him. Why? Because, as Jesus told them, whoever is not against us is for us. Even if someone does not have an official title in the church, even if someone does not have an official position in the church, as long as they are not doing anything against Jesus, we are to commend them, even if they are doing something as simple as giving a cup of cold water to someone who belongs to Christ, someone who is a fellow believer. We would all do well to take this truth to heart, my friends, as we strive to live our lives in Jesus' name. When someone's faith in Jesus, when someone's love for Jesus motivates them to reach out and help others, even if it's in the tiniest little way, instead of condemning them because maybe they are not one of us, we ought to go out of our way to commend them. Commend them for living their life in Jesus' name. Commend them for letting their faith shine brightly in their life. Commend them for setting a wonderful Christian example for others to follow, perhaps even an example that we would do well to follow. That brings us to the second point I want to emphasize from this text. Living our life in Jesus' name not only leads us to replace criticism with commendation, but living our life in Jesus' name leads us to examine our own heart and our own life and recognize and remove our own sinful tendencies. Look at what Jesus says to us in verses 42 through 48 of our text. "And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Wow. While the power of these words is undeniable, and while the picture that Jesus paints for us here is unforgettable, how are we to take this portion of Scripture and apply it to our own hearts and to our own lives today? I see two applications. The first application centers on Jesus' words to avoid causing one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. Who are the little ones that Jesus is talking about here in our text? Well, since Jesus had just taken a little child and had him stand among the disciples, the Lord is most certainly warning us against harming the faith of a little child. This includes making sure that we do not do anything and we do not say anything that would cause a little child to stumble in their faith or to question their faith in Jesus. This means that we are to do everything we possibly can to avoid the do as I say, not as I do trap that is so easy for us to fall into. Jesus is so serious and so adamant about making sure that we do not cause one of these little ones to sin against him, that he describes for us the severe punishment that someone who does such a thing deserves to receive. However, the definition of a little one is not confined to just little children. The definition of a little one also includes those who are young in heart, those who are new to the Christian faith, or those who are immature in their faith. Instead of belittling them, instead of criticizing them, instead of simply dismissing them, we need to do everything we possibly can to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we haven't seen them in church for a while, we can contact them and remind them of how important it is for their soul to receive the strength and the nourishment of God's Word and God's sacrament on a regular basis. If they are having difficulty with something that Scripture teaches, we can first of all refresh our own understanding of that teaching and then help them to see and rejoice in what our God has revealed to us right here in His holy word. If they are struggling to live their life in Jesus' name, we can try to make sure that we set a good example for them to follow and maybe even volunteer to mentor them. That brings us to the second application of the powerful picture that Jesus paints for us here in our text. When Jesus talks about cutting off our hand, or cutting off our foot, or plucking out our eye if it causes us to sin, does he mean that literally? Does Jesus actually want us to remove a portion of our body if it is causing us to sin, if it is leading us into sin against our God? The answer to that question, my friends, is yes and no. No. Cutting off a part of our body, whether it's our hand or our foot or our eye, is certainly not going to prevent us from ever sinning again. Why? Because as Jesus himself told us, sin comes out of men's hearts. At the same time, we can say yes. Jesus actually literally means what he says here in our text for today. Jesus wants us to understand that anything that leads us away from our Savior God, anything that endangers or damages or weakens our faith and our focus on the cross of Calvary's Hill, anything that would weaken our relationship with the God who has saved us is serious. It's serious enough that we need to deal with it, and if necessary, we need to remove it from our life. This could mean turning off the television, filtering where we surf on the internet, and censoring the music that we listen to. This could mean cutting off a friend who is having a negative impact on our life, a negative impact on our faith. This means doing everything we possibly can so that we are not thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Living our life in Jesus' name is not an easy thing to do, my friends. It means that we replace criticism with commendation. It means that we recognize and remove our own sinful tendencies. How can we possibly do that? On our own, we can't do it. If we try to do it on our own, we will most certainly fail. That's why Jesus says to us in the closing verses of our text, everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. At first glance, these words might seem rather confusing. We know, of course, that salt was and still is used to season and to preserve our food. What then does Jesus mean when he says that everyone will be salted with fire? The words of our Lord become clear when we understand that he is referring to the power of his holy, inspired word. God's holy word contains both law and gospel. When God's powerful law exposes our sin, it hurts. It burns just like pouring salt into an open wound. But once God's law has exposed our sin, once God's word has led us to repent of our sin, that is, to cut that sin out of our life, then the glorious message of God's gospel heals us. It comforts us by reminding us that our sins are forgiven. This necessary combination of both law and gospel not only preserves our faith in Jesus, but this necessary combination of both law and gospel will prevent us from being thrown into the eternal fires of hell. When we were born, our parents gave us our name. When we were born again through the sacrament of holy baptism, the God of heaven gave us a new name. Purely by the grace and power of God alone, we are Christians. We are disciples. We are followers of this world's only Savior from sin. May the good Lord grant that we consciously strive to live up to the new name he has given to us by consciously striving to live our life in his name. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.